Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my two best friends in the world, Randy and Justin. Randy, how you doing first?
I am great. How are you?
Justin, how are you? Because I am great.
I am fabulous because Randy just sang and he never sings.
It made my day, Randy.
Figure we got to start this show off on a high note.
That's right. Holy shit, you did, Randy. I appreciate it so much that I'm not even going to call attention to it anymore. Randy, we got a title for episode 8. What the hell is it?
It is Star Wars: The Last Jedi, TLJ for short. and I will note that above and beyond the subtitle within this title, the font for Star Wars is red instead of the traditional yellow. So, which could foreshadow some kind of evil, whether it be Sithy in nature or bloody or something dark. This way comes.
Something wicked this way comes.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, what do you guys think of it?
I'm sure most people are assuming that The Last Jedi is Luke, but Justin, who else could The Last Jedi be? Or is it Luke?
I think it's Luke. You're the crazy one. You're the one spitting out these half-cocked theories.
Oh. Well, before I do that, you know, remember Revenge of the Sith and Return of the Jedi were also in red.
I don't remember that.
But Star Wars, but
they did their little square. I know.
Yeah, I was to say, wait a second. I mean, the actual word Star War.
The Star Wars, yellow.
Star Wars. It was also in red, but it wasn't the traditional Star subtitle Wars.
You are correct, sir. I will give you that. But it's way different than how they've marketed it lately, where Star Wars is usually seen in the yellow text.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
Busting your ball. So Randy is Luke Skywalker, The Last Jedi.
Yeah, and it's even spelled out so much. If you look at the opening crawl from The Force Awakens, when it describes Luke as having been missing, they label him specifically as Luke Skywalker, comma, The Last Jedi, comma. It's right there, like hidden clear in front of our face, you know, as they say. So I think it's got to be referring to Luke.
You know the worst part about that thing you just mentioned about the crawl?
Hmm.
Remember watching up Force Awakens for the first time, seeing that crawl, seeing Luke Skywalker's name, you're like, sweet, Luke Skywalker's in this movie, and he's really not. So he's in the crawl more than he's in the fucking movie. So
this is sadly true.
So the title could be misleading. We could still only get 1 minute of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, the very beginning, and then they never come back to Luke and Rey.
Like, he just says no. He's like, she's like, train me. He's like, no. She's like, oh, that was a wasted trip. And she just like goes down the stairs.
Like, I'm not the all Jedi you're looking for. Yeah.
Totally mind tricks here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of rumors are that, you know, Luke and Rey may go on a whirlwind adventure to the heart, the first Jedi temple and the heart of the Force, which, I don't know, could be fun, I guess.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Whatever it is, I'm up for it. I'll give it a whirl.
Well, Justin, you had painted such a pretty picture with your hopes for Luke Skywalker in this film. So, do you want to tell the fine audience? Because hearing you say it makes me excited.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
About how much you wanted him to just take people's heads off.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I want a no-nonsense Luke. I want him to be just a complete badass where he's just mowing through fuckers. Like how Vader was at the end of Rogue One. It just where no one stood a chance and everyone was running for their lives. That's how I want Luke Skywalker to be. I want him to just cut down every motherfucker in his path. And I want the First Order to be afraid of Luke. I want Kylo Ren to see him and a little bit of pee drips out. Like, that's how I want it to be. I want him to be the only Jedi he ever feared kind of thing. And I hope to God we get it. And I just know that when he turns on his little lightsaber, his little green one, and goes to town I am just going to turn right back into a little boy again and be all giddy and love every second of it. And God forbid they fucking murder this asshole in this movie. I'm never going to watch Star Wars again. I'm just going to say, fuck it. I'm done. I'm just going to walk away. I just want to be happy. I want to walk out of the movie feeling really good. And I want Luke to be my hero once again and just fucking lay down the law.
I'm with you on. I definitely do not want to see Luke Skywalker get killed in this film or really ever. Like, Han Solo, let's be honest, was always expendable. And I think that, you know, if it hadn't been for the untimely death of Carrie Fisher, you know, Princess Leia could have possibly been expendable, but Luke Skywalker is not an expendable character. He's definitely not someone you can throw away on a whim. And I will be sad. And I definitely echo what Justin says, that I want Kylo Ren to be afraid of Luke Skywalker. Like, he's not afraid of anything except Luke Skywalker, because he knows that Luke Skywalker can probably throttle him. And yes. That will definitely,
like, one of
definitely
those speeder bikes on Endor.
Yeah, we throw speeder troopers, speeder scout troopers at him. Just think of the word for a second.
The giant trees.
Yeah, took the long way. Along with the announcement came a cool poster, like Randy was saying, where Star Wars is written in red. They also gave a quick little blurb. It was Twitter, so it was quick. And they talk about, let's see, what's the exact word is here, about the Skywalker saga. So, Randy, does that mean that episodes 1 through 9 are going to be the Skywalker saga, and episode anything afterward that doesn't have Skywalkers will not be part of the main episodes?
I think you just nailed it there, yeah. 1 through 9, Skywalker saga, anything standalone, and should they decide to go with a new trilogy or a new saga, it will follow some different family. It won't be the Skywalker saga anymore. Whether it follows Jedi or anybody that's got the Force or what have you, I don't know, but it looks like we are containing this under the umbrella of the Skywalker saga.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah. Well, I think it helps clearly delineate things. Like we were talking from the beginning that, oh man, people might have trouble delineating the saga films from the standalones, and sure enough, that did happen just this past December to some degree. You know, there were some people going in to see the movie expecting to see Rey and Luke and all that. So it just really kind of helps put a nice little bow on it, so you know exactly what you're looking at.
All right. What about, so I guess overall impression, how do you feel through this title? I mean, I think we all were kind of, with The Force Awakens, that's all right. I don't think any of us were really strongly affected by it. Justin, do you have a strong opinion one way or the other on The Last Jedi?
It excites me. I immediately thought of Luke Skywalker, so I am biased to that character. He's my favorite, so I was excited.
Yeah, Randy.
I like it, and then as I've been mulling it over all day since it was announced this morning, it's been growing on me to the point where I think I really like it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, it doesn't seem to fit like their normal naming system, but like Justin said, it instantly makes me think of Luke Skywalker, and so it instantly has like a visual to it, to where usually the titles of the films are kind of, you know, vague and ambivalent, and you know, you kind of have to, they're up for interpretation. This just reeks of, this movie is about Luke Skywalker. We're sorry we fucked you in episode 7. He will be in episode 8 a lot, and he'll be awesome.
Right. So, like, in 5, it was The Empire Strikes Back, right? Empire's not there. They're taking any shit from anyone, right? And then in episode 2, it was Attack of the Clones, which sounds very aggressive. Like, the war has started. Now, with The Last Jedi, what if it's just him saying, okay, I know what I have to do? And then it's like fucking when Kurt Russell whips open his sweet case and grabs his gun, getting ready for the battle at the OK Corral. Like, that's what I'm picturing. Him saying, okay, I got to do this one more time. It's on. You've awoken the dragon, and now I got to cut you fools down. And that's how I'm hoping it works.
So you hope, in your mind, you want Luke to seek the conflict. You don't want the conflict to come to Luke.
I want Luke to go to the conflict, correct? And then I want the third movie having to deal with the fallout of the damage that Luke Skywalker did to the First Order, and then them bringing the battle to whatever the New Republic is, that what they're called, and then it just it there's gonna be a winner. That's how I want 3 to work out.
Nice. Or 10 or 9, you mean?
What did I say? But yeah, the third movie, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. All right, so yeah, so Luke goes and thwarts, you know, whatever nefarious plans First Order has, kind of push them up against a corner. Episode 9 is kind of, you know, once you put an animal up against a corner, it's just going to lash out with everything. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of a, this is the end of the Empire kind of thing. It's either going to be the Empire or the Republic.
Yep.
One shall rise, the other shall fall.
I like that.
I like that too. What about you, Randy? Do you see it as something like, do you see Luke going out to almost correct the mistake that he made with Ben Solo? Or do you see Kylo Ren coming, looking for trouble?
I don't know. I think it's going to take a little bit of convincing to get Luke off of his island, and that might be kind of his Dagobah where he trains Rey, assuming that all happens. I think the way it might end up going down is Kylo Ren is going to come to them. He's going to bring the fight to them because he's all sorts of angry and angsty right now after getting cut up a little bit and shot. So he's going to be seeking vengeance quickly. What I imagine of his personality, he's not going to sit around and wait. So as much as I like the idea of Luke Skywalker bringing the fight to him, I think he's going to come looking, come calling.
How do you, you don't see Luke reacting poorly to the news of Han's death? You know, because death, it's almost on Luke's hands at this point. You know, he trained this guy, and he just went and hid while this kid reigned supreme.
I agree, it's going to affect him somehow, but I mean, who knows? As far as I'm concerned, everybody's emotions are just kind of way out of whack for what I feel they should be, at least from the Force Awakens perspective. So I don't know how it's going to be handled in this movie. And it all goes back to that whole thing where Leia should have consoled Chewie when they got back, you know, right, to Yavin or to wherever their base was there. Shit, I don't know.
The Elenium system.
Yeah, whatever.
Do you think that Leia squirreled a note away for Luke, like, hey, bro, we could really use your help. Maybe stop being such a selfish dick and come to the Elenium system.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. Maybe. I just hope that when he sees R2, maybe that's what it'll be. You say a note, but what if, did R2... I don't even remember. Did R2 go with Rey?
Yes.
He did, right? Okay.
I don't know. I could be making it up. It makes sense. I would think so.
I think R2 and Chewie are hanging out there by the Falcon.
Okay. Yeah that's going to just say, you know, they'll have their little welcome party, and then that's just going to trigger everything, and there'll be a sweet little message from Leia via hologram. And it'll be real fun, like it was in A New Hope. And you know, she's gonna say, you know, we lost Han and blah blah blah, but you know, we need you back here. We need you to fucking do what you do and face fuck this idiot Sith Lord dude. And there's this asshole named Snoke, and he looks like a giant, but he's not.
He's like 1,000 feet tall.
And we need you to just kick some ass. And quit being such a fucking dick face and get over here and save the galaxy one last time.
I lost my son. I lost my husband. I don't want to lose my brother, too.
Yes. I like it. Yeah. He's like, fine. God, I came to this island so you assholes would leave me alone.
I'm going to tell Mom. Oh, wait.
Yeah, which still just drives me fucking insane that he's on this island to begin with, this little lonely planet. I fucking hate that so much.
Yeah,
Luke has to know what happened. I mean, he had to have felt it, right?
I know, but as far as I'm concerned, he would never put this distance between him and the fate of the galaxy.
No, yeah. I totally agree with you there. You
know, that's the connection with Han, to where he would feel Han's death through the Force. I mean, if Leia had died, I think he definitely would have felt Leia, but I don't know if he has that connection with Han. And I think that Rian Johnson has a really uphill battle with me, and it sounds like with Justin, of rationalizing why Luke abandoned the galaxy to peril and to doom. And
it's going to be really hard to have something that makes sense, that satisfies me, because at this point I'm pretty infuriated with how Abrams handled Luke in the Force Awakens.
Unless it's a matter of, can we stop to go to the bathroom, and then he gets out, and then they just fly away.
Yeah, the bus left him. He's like,
he was marooned there like Johnny Depp and Pirates.
Yeah. Sea turtles.
Sea turtles. Sea turtles, mate. Oh, my God. All right, so Justin, you had said green lightsaber, so you're hoping he's still got that green saber?
Oh, yeah. Randy, or, you know what would be even cooler? As if R2 has it, and he fucking shoots it out at him.
I'm down with that. That hadn't even crossed my mind that, like, he's there without a lightsaber, and R2's just holding on to it for him. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be crazy, though, because then he would be stranding himself in the middle of nowhere with no protection.
It's fucking Luke Skywalker. He's got rocks.
Yeah, but still.
Vader's lightsaber went down the reactor shaft, right? And he cuts off the hand.
Theoretically, yeah, it did.
Too bad. How rad would it be if he had his dad's lightsaber? It's still red. Just to fucking everybody off.
That would be... I don't even know how... My brain wouldn't even be able to process that.
Because he pulls it up, and so you see it for a second, you're like, fuck, that's Darth Vader's lightsaber! And like, then he lights it, and it's fucking red, and you're like, wait, what?
It's like, when did you have time to get that?
Yeah, he's fast.
Like, what's going on here? Or even better, it's back to its original blue. But I like the green. I want it to be green.
Mm-hmm.
It does look cool.
I mean, it could be just an entirely different color altogether. Maybe he adopts a yellow lightsaber because he's a gray Jedi now. Oh, he doesn't. He falls in between.
Oh, there's no such thing as gray Jedi. Lucasfilm has declared that there's no such thing as a gray Jedi. Either you're a good guy, you're a light side or dark side. There's no gray.
That's not true. Ahsoka's gray and the Bendu is gray.
No, there are no gray Jedi. Lucasfilm,
and that's canon because they're both current in Rebels.
Yes, but Lucasfilm has officially stated that there is no such thing as a gray Jedi.
Well, then you don't necessarily label it as a gray Jedi. It's just a gray Force user. Not light side, not dark side. Because dark side, I mean, they're Sith. They're not Jedi necessarily, right?
Ahsoka isn't gray. She's not a. She's a light side. She fights for good.
She fights for good, but she doesn't fight for the Jedi.
Mm-mm. Doesn't matter. But she's still a good person. She's a light side person.
I'll give you that overarching, but there's still Bendu.
No, there's no gray.
Which you need it's to get like, caught up on Rebels.
Left, it's like going down the road. Left side, safe. Right side, safe. Middle, squish.
Walk down middle, like grape.
Like grape. Okay. All right, anything else on the Star War, Andy? Anything else you want to postulate? Anything else you want to glean from three words that have led us to talk for an hour?
2 hours. Great, though? I love that. We're such fucking nerds.
There is a supposed teaser trailer that I'm pretty sure is fake that has leaked online earlier today. It's basically just like stars moving in like a Starfield space kind of background. And it's got the voice of what sounds like... I can't tell if it's Snoke or if it's supposed to be Palpatine. Because the sound like is really Snoke shitty. But it says... You know, I actually have it written down because it's really difficult to determine what the dialogue is. It says, "A new order is rising. Don't fight it. Let the dark side embrace you." And then it reveals the title and then says December in the familiar red Star Wars font. But I'm pretty sure it's fake. Like, some dude saw the title reveal this morning, you know, got on his computer and played with After Effects for like 2 minutes and crapped this thing out, and everybody's falling for it.
That was very reminiscent of like the Dark Knight teaser, where it was just that like blue, like blur, and it was Michael Caine's Alfred talking about, you know, people like the Joker. But in that case, it was dialogue lifted straight from the movie. In this instance, I can't. Unless Snoke is talking directly to Rey, I can't think of anyone else he would be saying this dialogue to, unless it's something that's just not in the movie. But that's not, it didn't strike me as something that Disney would use as a marketing tool.
Right. I mean, it looked funky. It looked like the space background was a little too stock footagey for me. The voiceover was good. I'll give him that. But I don't know. It just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Didn't have that polish that we're used to. Especially not for what was probably intended to be a title reveal, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was talking about this the other day with somebody about if Star Wars would have a Super Bowl spot, like a commercial in the Super Bowl for Episode 8. And at first I was like, oh, that'd be a good thing. But then I was like, that Star Wars is such an iconic brand, and Disney, one of the things Disney's done so well is everything that's happened Star Wars has been like an event. Like, they made an event out of telling us the title of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's three words, and it's an event. I don't see them wanting to share the spotlight of the Super Bowl, where you're going to see like 10 trailers. And I think they're going to wait until they have their own spot to where they can take over the entire news day with Episode 8 teaser, because everyone's looking for it, because they'll start the teaser with that scene where Rey's got the lightsaber out, and then maybe we'll get like one line of her dialogue, and then they'll, like, she'll say something, and there'll be a question like, will he train her or some shit like that, and then we'll get a bunch of fast cuts, and it'll say December, and I'll be like, holy shit, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
I doubt we're going to say it's the best thing I've ever seen based on the first teaser, but we'll build to that. We'll get there.
I don't know. The Force Awakens teaser was... I remember sitting there waiting to see freaking Mockingjay Part 2, like, about ready to cry from, like, a religious experience and how ridiculous that sounded. Like, I couldn't even look at my wife. I'm like, don't judge me! What do you think, Justin? You got any further things to discuss about The Last Jedi other than Luke Skywalker for the win?
No, I mean, that's it. I want Skywalker. I want green lightsaber. I want fucking him kicking ass. As much as I just want to see in the movie of him kicking ass, I would be okay if they never showed him doing anything amazing in the trailer, except turn on his lightsaber. Or even if that was saved for the movie, like the moment, then that would be great. But that's going to be the best part of the movie for me.
The chills.
It's going to be the and him just fucking annihilating. And if he doesn't, I am just going to be one heartbroken son of a bitch. I feel like I've built it up so much in my mind of how I want it to play out that I'm just going to be disappointed at this point.
Here's how it's going to go down. He's going to force pull the lightsaber out of Rey's hand and into his robotic hand.
Ooh, I like that.
Maybe like he'll mine. Ignite it, maybe he won't. Yeah, mine.
Yeah.
Mine, or I will help you not.
Did you steal my shit? Where'd you get this?
I want him on top of her shoulders, and she's got to do flips around the jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good stuff. And I don't think you have to worry, Justin. This just seems like something that can't be fucked up. Like it would... If it were to be mishandled or botched or fucked up, then it would be clear that Disney is just trying to sabotage, like, the original films. And... I mean, as ridiculous as that sounds, it would be, if they do anything other than what we've talked about, it's character assassination of Luke Skywalker more than they've already done. So, yeah, I think people would charge the gates in Burbank and just fucking burn that place to the ground.
Yeah.
Well, when we go to our screening, it's usually at Burbank for the Star Wars one. So we'll be in the belly of the beast and we'll be already past their security. So we can just burn it down right then and there.
Burn this mother down.
We're like, we're already inside. But yeah, so that's all good news. But a little bit of sad news is Neil Blomkamp, who's been just tantalizing us with these great Alien 5 imagery of Newt and Ridley and all the Ripley. Sorry. He took to Twitter today and said that the chances of him making his Alien movie is now slim. And he didn't really give any reason why. Originally it was we were promised that Ridley Scott had said that he wanted Neil Blomkamp to make his movie after he made his Prometheus sequel. You know, that turned into Alien Lost Covenant, and we've seen trailers and all these posters, and that movie is definitely coming soon. But I don't know what could have happened. Maybe he just moved on or lost Wood. So what do you think, Justin? Are you bummed that we're not going to see Blomkamp's aliens?
I am. I was really looking forward to a new take on aliens, and it just makes me sad. It's almost like he had this idea, and then Ridley Scott's like, oh yeah, the Alien franchise is pretty badass. Let me go ahead and revisit that. And just kind of said, move! And he just took over and had his own little ideas, and he's obviously going an alien route as opposed to the Prometheus route, you know, and I think he just fucking tabled Blomkamp's idea.
He's borrowing from Blomkamp's ideas, maybe, and that's why Blomkamp can't do it anymore, because Ridley Scott may have borrowed some of his ideas?
Maybe. It's 100% possible. Or Ridley Scott made the movie in such a way that Blomkamp's movie wouldn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, that could make sense, because Blomkamp's movie was going to kind of branch out from Aliens. They hadn't said whether or not it was going to make Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection no longer, you know, officially count, mm-hmm. Or if he was going to do some form of, you know, like alternate timeline type thing. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's kind of in the same vein of what we're going to see in the new Alien movie. But yeah, it's unfortunate. Randy, were you a fan of the concept art that we saw at a Blomkamp? He's been promoting. He's been talking about this since before Chappie came out.
Yeah, I loved the hell out of it, and to me, that's really the only version of a next Aliens film I want to see is that. You know, as much as I like the idea of Ridley Scott coming back, I want Blomkamp's version because I want a lot of the original cast to be there. You know, yeah. I want to see what they're up to. I want to see what a natural progression after Aliens would look like.
Yeah.
With a fresh pair of eyes that is a fan of the franchise.
You're right. Yeah. Now we may never find out.
Do you think it's an artist who had an idea, like you were saying, Justin, who was all gung-ho to make this movie, who people were excited about, and then the original creator saw that people were more excited about this and decided to push his own agenda, and now the, you know, Blomkamp has decided, like, well, I guess I just will move on to something else if you want to do this.
Yeah, and I think Ridley Scott's kind of an interesting character in his own right, right? Like, he kind of made a lot of bad movies in a row, and then did he end up doing The Martian? Was that him?
Yeah, he did The Martian.
Yeah, and that movie
that was like his return.
Yeah, that movie was fucking badass. Okay, now we're going on like almost 2 years for that movie now. That was 2015. And maybe that just kind of said, you know what? I can fucking do this, man. I'm on top. I can have my way.
I own this town.
Yeah. He's Ridley Scott's not a young man, dude.
Yeah. Isn't he like in his 70s?
I would imagine so.
I mean, he has to be. I mean, Alien was 76.
1937.
Yeah, oh, wow. So he's turning 80.
He's 80. Yeah. He's,
same age as my dad.
Except your dad ain't helming an Aliens movie.
No.
It's gotta be
nor
stressful.
I couldn't even conceptualize the idea of that happening. Holy hell.
But it's
no,
fun.
Good on him. You know what? Fuck it. Give him one more. Give him one more. That guy's on his way out.
Well, it almost sounds like he had to choose if you wanted to do Alien or if you want to do Blade Runner. He chose Alien, so I guess in most of our eyes he chose wisely, but if it's going to come at the expense of Blomkamp's movie, that's kind of a bummer.
Right.
Well, they brought in some serious actors for Alien. Like they weren't pulling any punches on this one. They brought Fassbender back, you got Franco, Guy Pearce, what's her name?
Danny McBride's in it.
That Noomi, what's her name? Noomi Rapace or something like that? She's the...
Yeah.
She's good, man. They're gonna really do well with this movie, I think.
Yeah, and it's like it's a return to form. I mean, it's, you know, he was
he was trying something different with Prometheus, and that's fine and dandy.
I love it. I always love experiments.
I wish I would have rather seen an expansion of the Prometheus War. I wish that they had gone through with the original plan, that he was going to make a Prometheus sequel and Blomkamp was going to make an Alien movie, and it would have allowed Ridley Scott to expand. Like, I think there are some really good ideas in Prometheus and some really great jumping off points. I think it gets mired down with a little too much mythology, but it could go some really great places, and I think the story would have been better served that way instead of him going just to make basically just a straight Aliens movie, which is going to be fine, but...
Yeah, but that was the thing, right? People want Aliens. They don't want those architect guys. They don't want something to pretend to be an alien. If it's going to be an alien movie, make it a fucking alien movie. Don't P-word around it. And,
yeah. Instead he's just going to make... He's going to make Aliens with just a different cast of characters.
I know.
It's just another group of people who get stranded on the wrong fucking planet.
That's all they do. Gotta quit with the interstellar space travel. Just knock it off.
Yeah, when I saw that little like insect like flying in his ear, I'm like, oh, is that how they're going to impregnate him? It's not going to be like facehuggers? Mm. And then like the next scene is the facehugger. I'm like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't fuck this up. Don't Ridley Scott this, Ridley Scott.
I think it's going to be good. I'm excited. He's got the feedback. He knows what he wants to do. And maybe he just needed... Maybe it was just making The Martian put him back in that mindset. Maybe it inspired him. Who knows?
I think he was inspired by Force Awakens. He's like, wait, I can just remake one of my old movies and people will watch it? Oh, check this out. It's a movie. It's called Aliens. I mean, Alien Lost Covenant. And, like, we're going to... same movie. Paul,
yeah.
We're going to get Paul Reiser back. He's going to be the doucher.
Yeah. He's, it's interesting.
It is interesting.
And the one of the guys, that John Logan guy, he's written some pretty good shit, man. He the one that wrote Alien Covenant or whatever?
Uh-huh.
He's got fucking Skyfall. He's got The Aviator. Star Trek Nemesis. We don't talk about that movie, but it's pretty fucking good.
Like everyone's first introduction to Tom Hardy.
Uh-huh. Fucking Gladiator. Any Given Sunday. He knows how to tell a story.
He's so. Worked with some big directors. I mean, Sunday's is Oliver Stone. You know, you had mentioned Ridley Scott movie. I've already forgotten the other ones you mentioned, but there were other big directors. That's a big deal.
Yeah, so it's promising. And the trailer was, that Red Band trailer was fucking scary, man. I liked it.
Yeah, they're all making out in the shower.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
I guess it's not safe up in space. Uh-uh. No nookie in space.
Uh-uh. You die.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, they're assembling a pretty crackerjack team. So I'm pretty excited. Which reminds me, did you see that they said who Woody Harrelson is going to play in the Star Wars Han Solo movie?
I saw that. Yeah.
Hang on, let me.
A character they are resurrecting from the old legends.
Yeah, and fuck, I forgot his name already.
Garrus is his first name. I don't remember.
Like the Shrine. Place. Anyway, so his character appeared in an expanded universe novel called Paradise Snare, which is one of the original Han Solo books. And basically, what he does is he finds orphans on like Corellia and other planets. You know, people that no one wants, you know, beggars and stuff. And he brings them in, like, gives them a roof over their head and teaches them to be, like, scam artists and pickpockets and smugglers and stuff like that. And, you know, he takes everything they make and stuff like that. And so he finds a 2-year-old Han Solo, you know, and brings him into the fold. And Han Solo kind of becomes, like, his best pickpocket, his best, like, swoop pilot and stuff like that. But Han Solo the whole time wants nothing to do with him. You know, he keeps trying to constantly escape.
At one point, there's a Wookiee, a female Wookiee that kind of takes care of Han Solo, and it's kind of like his surrogate mother, who through Han Solo's actions gets killed by Woody Harrelson's character, and that's what kind of brings his love for Wookiees and stuff like that. And it's obviously they're not going to do all this from the expanded universe in there, but the character is a very interesting character. He's not a good guy, he's not a bad guy. As Randy would say, he's a gray character.
Garrus Shrike is his name.
There you go, that's the name. And I'm really excited that A, they're resurrecting an expanded universe character. It'll be the second expanded universe character that Disney officially recognizes in canon after Grand Admiral Thrawn from Rebels. And I'm very excited at the possibilities of more expanded universe characters creeping their way into these films. And Woody Harrelson is an amazing actor, and I think he'll play his part great. So I just wanted to hop on my soapbox real quick.
Robble, robble, robble. Robble,
robble, robble. Because it got me thinking, because we're talking about the amazing ensemble that's being brought together for Alien. You know, the Han Solo movie has just everything. It's just lights out amazing, even with Emilia Clarke involved. I'm sure she'll be good, too. But Donald Glover as Lando is makes me pretty excited.
Yeah. I mean, some are calling it stunt casting. I call it brilliant.
I think it's fantastic. I think Lord and Miller are the perfect directors, and Bradford Young or Harris or whatever, the DP, is making beautiful films. So, speaking of beautiful films, the Logan trailer. Holy shit. Justin, tell me everything you know about this Logan trailer and how amazing it is.
It's cool to see X-23 be a badass. She's got some Logan genes in her for show. She an angry Logan, like how the Wolverine that we know and love, ain't no shit from nobody. I see pride.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I see a badass mother who take no shit off of nobody. Yeah.
What do you see, father?
I see a Scarlet little boy. No, it was great, man. Again, another fun music choice, and it's going to be, it looks like it's going to be just a depressing fucking movie, but with some badass fight scenes in it to kind of get the old razzle-dazzle going, and I think we're going to laugh, I think we're going to cry, and I think it looks like it's going to be a tremendous send-off for not only Hugh Jackman, but you know, the Wolverine that we have known for the last 17 years.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful film, and it reminded me, the way it looks a lot like Hell or High Water, which is high praise. And I think in this film we will see the demise of both Professor X and Wolverine, and it'll be sad. And I was not expecting so much out of X-23 in this trailer. I thought that we might get like a quick little glimpse or like pop in the claw or something like that, but no, she goes full on fucking murder mode, and it's pretty glorious. So what do you think, Randy?
I loved absolutely every second of it. I had no idea what I was getting into when I sat down to watch that trailer, and I just sat there mouth agape and watched it over again. It looks fucking amazing.
It does. And it's one of those movies where, you know, every year it gets more and more frustrating when the Academy Awards like makes fun of these superhero movies. And this is one of those ones where it's a very serious tone. It's going to be a very serious movie, and I think it really legitimizes that genre. And it irritates me to no end that all these A-listers are doing these movies, but they sit there and make fun of them, and that is what's driving the machine of Hollywood right now. No one gives a shit about these artistic movies right now, and it really is a staple in our culture, and it just frustrates me to no end that they're not taken seriously on this big stage every single year.
Yeah, and I mean, this one looks like it's like the antithesis of like all superhero. Like we have no costumes, you know, no one in this movie's dressing up. There's no colorful costumes. There's no giant beam of light shooting into the sky like every superhero movie has to have. It looks like it's a very small, intimate, personal story. Mm-hmm. And I think that we could use a lot more of those in comics. You know, having none of us have seen it, obviously, but from what we've seen so far, if they're able to pull off what they pulled off in these two trailers, I think it's going to be emotional. I think we're all going to shed a couple tears.
Mm-hmm. And X-Men has always kind of had that way of doing things. Not the movies per se, but the comics always tackled some very serious issues. And I think that it's perfect that it is an X-Men movie that might actually find the real balance between the humor side and the drama side and really just kind of tug at our heartstrings. I think it's going to be awesome.
How cool is it that it shows an X-Men comic in the movie?
That's awesome.
Oh my god, yeah. It was all like, half of this didn't happen. None of it happened like that.
Yeah. That's like, fantastic.
What? It's so meta.
That's so meta, Dave. Holy shit.
Gotta throw that in for you, but...
I love it.
Yeah, I guess, barring Ryan Reynolds getting his way and actually getting Hugh Jackman in a Deadpool movie, this will be their... our last go-around with Hugh Jackman, who been Wolverine for 17 years now, and I just can't picture him else doing it. He's been perfect. Mm-hmm. Even in the shitty ones, he's still been good.
Ain't that the truth.
Yeah. I'm hoping the critical poor reception to the previous two Wolverine standalone movies will not affect this movie. I'm hoping that this will get a strong enough word of mouth to where people will be like, oh, maybe it is worth watching.
Yeah.
Sad. And it's sad.
And it's sad. It's so funny.
Holy you shit. Got a list, Rando?
Hey, I do. You know, when we like to pregame it around here and chat a little bit before we record the show. And one thing we were talking about is our love for Michael Keaton. So what I came up with for us this week are 10 of Michael Keaton's greatest movies.
Ooh, shit.
Could have been a top 50.
It could have been, because there's there's so many to choose from.
Fucking Dave. That was funny.
Like Michael Keaton, okay?
Hey, I fucking love Kurt Russell, so it's all good, dude. Sorry, Randy. Right, so go for
number
it.
10 on this list, Multiplicity.
Perfect. Oh my god, that's number 10. You're telling me there's 9 better? I don't even know there's 9 better movies in the world than Multiplicity, much less 9 better Michael Keaton movies.
Well, I'm going to tell you that movie wasn't even on this list, but I'm replacing number 10 with it because I'm not familiar with number 10.
What was number 10?
The Merry Gentleman, 2009.
I don't know that movie either.
Yeah,
no clue.
Multiplicity was not on this list?
Multiplicity was not on this list. So we've established from the beginning that this list is flawed, but let's just roll with it.
Do you know that Michael Keaton directed The Merry Gentleman?
Did he?
I don't know. I'm IMDb in it. I never heard of this fucking movie. And I love Michael Keaton.
According to Box Office Mojo, it only brought in $347,000 in the box office.
Way to help us both vouch for our Michael Keaton credit. What movie in? We don't know what it is.
Moving on, this is one everybody knows. Number 9, Batman, 1989.
Number 9?
There are 8 better movies.
Holy shit, I wasn't expecting that. I thought top 3 was going to be like a Batman, Beetlejuice, fucking
Mr. Mom
kind of three-way.
I guarantee you are not going to see any of these coming.
You know Mel Key movie I love that I hope's on this list is The Paper. So keep your list going.
All right. This actually, I will say this comes courtesy of moviecheatsheet.com. All right. Number 8, The Other Guys, 2010.
Oh, it's such a good movie. He's so good in it. I know, Justin, you don't like the movie, but
yeah.
Mel Key's pretty funny in it. Yeah. Cool. Oh, he's cool in like the TLC songs. Mm-hmm. I don't want no scrubs. But
number
come on.
7. Batman Returns.
Batman Returns higher, Batman?
Yeah, rated higher than Batman. I don't get it.
List had Batman Returns higher than Batman, which was 9, and Multiplicity not on the list.
Number 6.
But in Batman Returns, Michael Keaton was in the movie a lot more than what he was in Batman.
That's true. And he kills a lot of people.
Because he didn't have to share the screen with freaking Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
He kills so many people at the in the opening stage when they're fighting that like
all the clowns.
He puts like a bomb on one guy and throws him in the sewer.
Burns the other asshole with the after. I'm sorry, Randy. Go ahead.
Yeah, remember, Bama doesn't kill anybody, right? No.
Number six, Beetlejuice.
What? Oh, holy shit, dude! That was gonna be one.
Good movie. Five we still have five more to go. Number
this
five.
This must be like a drama list. So it must be like My Life and like The Squeeze and Clean and Sober.
Oh god, The Squeeze. That movie sucks. Number they five. Fake the lottery or whatever? Go ahead. Sorry.
Mr. Mom.
Oh, what?
No joke.
I quote that movie anytime like an electrician comes over and they're like, 110, 110, 111, whatever it takes.
I'm going to give you guys number four, and then I'm going to make you guys try to figure out the top three on your own.
All right.
Number four is Jackie Brown,
1997.
Shit.
Yeah, he's
right. He was good at that movie.
Yeah, he was good. All right, so the Dream Team better be on this fucking list, because that movie's badass.
You got Johnny Dangerously still to
Johnny
go.
Johnny Dangerously. I never saw Birdman, so I couldn't say what yay or nay on that one. But everyone else loved it.
Judging by this list, it's going to be on. It's not in his top 10. So we got Night Shift. We got Mr. Mom's right on the list. We got Johnny Dangerously. We got Gung Ho. Dream Team. What else we got? Speechless.
The Paper that you mentioned.
The Paper. But that's not going to be on the list. That's it.
The Paper's number three.
Yes! I fucking love The Paper. Like, The Paper is a great film, and it's one of those movies that it's just stacked from top to bottom with like just an all-star cast. Like, it's Michael Keaton, it's fucking Marissa Tomei, it's Robert Duvall, it's Glenn Close, it's fucking Randy Quaid, Ron Howard directed it, it's Jason Alexander's in it. It's just a stacked film, and anyone who has any passing interest in like journalism and how it works, this is just something that you love.
Okay, so Dream Team.
I applaud.
Dream Team, Johnny Dangerously. Desperate Measures is cool because he's a bad guy. He was always kind of a good guy in movies, so it was neat to see him as a real creep.
He was a bad guy in Pacific Heights, too. I think that's probably his only two.
That's right.
And we got Night Shift still, Gung Ho, Johnny Dangerously.
And Birdman.
And Birdman.
All right, guys. So, I will say of all those movies that you listed, there is one of those on this list.
Is the one we didn't list Need for Speed?
No, the one you didn't list is number two, Much Ado About Nothing, 1993.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
Shit.
Okay, so number one, you guys mentioned it before. In that list of like 10 movies, if any of you can guess this correctly, I will personally give you my 1 hour interpretation of what I think The Last Jedi means.
Pacific Heights.
So, I don't know if that's a list. A win I'm going or to, a fail.
I'm saying Johnny Dangerously based on this list.
Justin, what's your answer?
Oh, that's a good guess. I'm going to say Dream Team.
You are both incorrect. Number one is Night Shift.
Oh,
that's a good movie, though. That's okay. That one's worth it.
It is a good movie. So, yeah, that's the top 10.
I like it. That's got Shelley Long.
MovieCheatSheet.com.
She implies that she bit a guy's penis off. Her introduction to you is an implication that she bit a penis off. Take that. Sensors. Ron Howard directed that movie too.
He's a busy guy.
He is. Remember when he used to be a good director?
I like the Fire movie.
Backdraft?
Yeah. You go.
You like it because Kurt Russell's in it.
Oh. Yeah. I forgot.
You're biased.
I'm terrible. Give me a green lightsaber and Luke Skywalker and Kurt Russell and I'm done.
I can't argue with that. Yeah. There's no coming back.
Snoke is really Kurt Russell.
I would approve of that.
Like playing himself.
playing himself. She takes off the mask, and by the way, I'm Kurt Russell. And everyone just says, well, we can't be Kurt Russell, man. Let's kill each other.
Yeah, they just fucking bounce.
They're like, well, good game. Well played.
Fine list, Randy.
Yeah, it was a good list.
It was hard. and accurate.
Yeah. The accuracy is questionable, but hey, it's what keeps you guys on your toes, right?
Jesus. That was like our worst list ever as far as guessing goes.
Well, who would have guessed Batman was the number 9 Michael Keaton movie of all time?
I never could have guessed that. And he had to change 10.
Was from September of last year, so it's not like it's an old list or something like that.
Jesus, tap dancing.
Oh, so it's of 2016 or 2015?
2016.
Oh, okay. So it was after Birdman. That's
interesting. I don't know.
I'm excited the paper was on there. It has. I do enjoy it a lot. Kill him a lot. But cool. Well, you guys got anything else? Anything fun to add? Randy.
Not a gut bang.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Remember that Randy sang this episode, and so that is a rare treat, and so you guys should all count yourselves lucky. And honoring gods of Geek Legacy, you should like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. Thank you.